Amen. Let's give God praise right now. Welcome. Welcome, all of you. My name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this church. I want to welcome all those who are watching with us online. And I just want to encourage you. I believe God is going to do some really awesome things in this new year. But it calls for us to believe. Amen. We got to believe that God is going to be working. And so that's what we've been talking about here these past few weeks here in our sermon series. But before we get into the message today, there's something that I have done as a lead pastor. Every time a new president is inaugurated into office, and the Word of God says that we are to pray for those who are in authority. And I just want you to know, if you're new to Thrive Church, we do not endorse any candidate. We do not endorse any political party or system. We promote Jesus. We are all about Jesus. And we're all about following and being obedient to His Word. And so this morning, we know that President Trump is going to be inaugurated tomorrow. And whether you voted for him or not, it is your responsibility as a Jesus follower to pray for him. And I believe this about a president. I believe as goes the president, so goes the country. Right? And so whoever is in office, I want to pray blessings and favor over that. So if we have a picture, can we put that up there, guys? There we go. 1 Timothy says this, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all, for kings and presidents and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Can we just take a moment right now and pray for our incoming president in Jesus' name? Your word says that if your people, if we would just humble ourselves and we would seek your face, and we would pray and ask that you would heal our land. We pray that that would happen. We know that there's many ways in our country that need healing to take place. We pray especially for those who are in the state of California battling flames and all of the fallback from that. And so tomorrow we have a new president who's going to come and lead this country. And Lord, we pray that you would both work in him and through him for your glory. We pray blessings, we pray anointing, and we pray favor over this man's life, his administration, and for this country. And all God's people said, amen, amen. I want to encourage you, pray for your leaders, pray for your leaders. We have another picture that I put up there. Yeah, this is, a lot of people have been asking, like, hey, you make us promises, and that is our three-month-old grandbaby. That is Blake. I want you to know, every time that I mention her name or show her picture, I have to give her mom $5. So I want you to know this is costing me, but it is worth the price. And I got more pictures. If you would like to see more later, meet me in the lobby, and I have more pictures that I would love to share with you. So we're in a sermon series this year called Believe. Everybody say, I believe. I believe. I believe. We all believe, but the question is, what do you believe, and who do you believe in? And I just believe Jesus is worth believing in. I believe he is a miracle worker. And what we're talking about, what it looks like to live out our faith and not just by our feelings. You see, the Word of God says, well, we walk by faith. We live by faith and not just by how we feel. How many of you have gotten in trouble by living by your feelings? Well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing this. And like, well, it doesn't matter how you feel. It's what does God's Word say about this? Mark 9:23 is our theme verse. It says, anything is possible if a person... anything is possible if a person believes. And so that's talking about physical ailments that you're going through. It's talking about finances. It's talking about your marriage. It's talking about the heartache that you're feeling in relationships. Whatever the problem, the challenge that you're facing, God says, hey, listen, let me have your attention. Anything is possible for those who believes. And so I want to challenge you in this sermon series. about belief. And last week we talked about a battle with King Joash, and I feel like God led me to another battle scene that we're going to address today by the name of a king, and I just love this name, King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat. How many? I told my son that we always wanted to name him a biblical name, and that I really pressed his mom to name him Jehoshaphat, and he always thought that for a while, and I had to fess up. But how many of you have ever faced a major battle? A major battle that you're just, you keep fighting and you can't fix it, you can't win it, you just, it's just not, you just feel like you're losing. In 2018, I've kind of shared bits and pieces about this, but in 2018, I was in a battle for my marriage. Up until then, I didn't realize it then, but up until then, I had made ministry and the success of ministry, I had made that, if I can just confess it, it was my mistress. It was the thing that I was pushing for. It was the thing that I was living for. I was just all about that. Not only that, but there was some situations that arose up in my family. My parents passed away, and that was a very difficult season. There was conflict in our family. I won't go any deeper than this, but I had a brother who decided to sue the rest of the family. So now, in the midst of my parents dying, I'm in the middle of a lawsuit. These things begin to add up, and I wasn't dealing with these things, and it was affecting my marriage. And things just began to accumulate, and it was problems after problems, and I would go home, and I would try to fix the problem, and we would come in, my wife would come into service, and she'd come into the doors of the church like everybody else, and she's like crying. I'm like, can you not cry? Can you just, like, what's wrong? I couldn't fix it, and I remember a couple mornings just being at church in the building all by myself early in the morning, like in that corner, not this building, but at a different church in the corner of the building, and I was just balled up in the darkness, just calling out to God, God, what is wrong? I was in a battle. I was in a battle. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to fix it. So my question to you is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do? How do you live out your faith when you don't know what to do? In 2 Chronicles 20, we read about the story of King Jehoshaphat. Again, I get a kick out of that name. King Jehoshaphat had received this news that he was being confronted. Now, last week we talked about King Joash, and he was confronted by one army. King Jehoshaphat was not just one army, but it was three armies that got together and formed an alliance. So now you have three armies coming at you at one time. And he's just blown away. This invading army totally outnumbered his army. And he was just, you know, counting, doing the numbers. I mean, it's 3-1. It's not, the odds are not good. I want us to look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2 through 3. We're just going to kind of take this story apart here. It says, messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against us, against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at, I don't know how to say this name. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news. Terrified. Have you ever been in a situation like, oh, man, I gotta do. Oh, geez, how's this gonna work out? Like, I don't know what to do. His situation in his eyes seemed impossible. It was impossible. He knew that he did not have the physical strength. He did not have the capacity. He did not have the ability. His army was not capable to stop this invasion that is coming his way. So again, I ask you, what do you do when you don't know what to do? When you're terrified, you're anxious, whatever you keep doing is not working, it's not getting fixed, like it just seems like it's getting worse. And as we look at this story further, I just want us to see, I see a game plan that gets developed here. And I really want you to catch this game plan. I want you to follow along in your sermon notes with me this morning, because I think we see something here. And I've entitled this message, "This is How We Fight Our Battles." I mean, you've heard that song. Michael W. Smith, I think he's who sings it. "This is How We Fight Our Battles." And if you want to know the words to the song, those are basically the whole words to the song. This is how we fight our battles. So I'm going to get into this game plan here. Here's a game plan that I think will help you as you fight your battles. When you're in that place and you've run out of options, it seems impossible. What do you do when you don't know what to do? And the first thing that we're going to do when we face these battles is we're going to seek God. Now, let's just stop here right now. Some of these answers, you might be like, "Oh, that's a Christian answer." Like, no. This is the answer. I'm telling you, here's the answer. You got to watch how this ends here. He says here in verse 3 and 4, "Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah, the whole kingdom, to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help." The first thing that he did was he sought God. The first thing he did. Check out the sequence. Jehoshaphat hears the news. It's impossible. Number two, he's terrified. And number three, he goes to God. When facing a challenge, what's your typical response? And I'm going to confess, sometimes I don't always follow this game plan. Sometimes when I'm facing a situation, it starts off with worry. "Oh no, man, this is bad. You know what? I'm going to try to fix this." And I start to try to fix it, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm making this situation worse, and I back off, and now I'm not just worried, I'm afraid. I'm afraid this is not going to turn out well. You know what I need to do? I'm just going to go at it at a different angle, and I'm going to try to fix this a little bit more. And like, oh my goodness, this is blowing up on me. And I'm filled with anxiety. And like, you know what I need to do? I'm a Christian. I'm a Jesus follower. I'm a pastor. Why don't I pray? Ever feel like that? Why is it that so many times God is plan B, plan C, or plan D? In Matthew chapter 6, this is not in your notes, but if you look up in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples about this thing called worry. And they were worried about food and shelter and clothing. They were just worried about all these things. And Jesus is like, "Why do you worry? Why do we worry?" Like all this stuff. And Jesus, no. Why do you worry? What if he says this infamous verse, write this down, Matthew 6:33, it's powerful. He says, what if you would just seek first? What if you just made me plan A every time? What if you would seek first the kingdom of God? In other words, what if you would just seek me first in your situation, in your challenge, and then seek my righteousness? In other words, what if you would just seek me and seek the right way, what I have to say about this situation? And then he says, and then all of these things will be added unto you. You see, what do we find when we seek God? What do we promise that we're going to, when we seek God? First of all, we're promised comfort. God gives us peace in the midst of the storm that you're facing. God gives us peace. That's one of the first things that we have. There's so many times I've been in a battle and situation, conflict, and the first thing when I discover when I'm seeking God is like, the situation's not going away, but I have peace. How many of you have discovered that in your battles? Sometimes, and you've talked to God, you went to God, "I just have a peace." The second thing that God gives us, and Jesus gives us, is this thing called guidance. We go to him, and like all of a sudden, it just becomes clear. Like, you've been trying to fix it over here, this is what I want you to, I'm going to give you guidance on what to do. And the third thing, the reason why we go to him, why we seek him first, is because he gives us this thing called intervention. And his intervention is like, God is like, hey, you back up and let me get involved in the situation and let me show up. Let me provide the miracle, the answer, the victory that you're looking for. This reminds me, and I think I've talked about this before, but I repeat it again. So I grew up in a family of six kids, and I had three older brothers. So I was the fourth of the brothers. And so the oldest brother, he was just kind of out of the picture. He was working a lot. He wasn't really in the scene. So he was there. Then I had the second oldest brother, and he was kind of the jock. He was just a great big brother. Big brother number two, if you're listening to this, I hope that you're enjoying this. But he was just a great big brother, always looking out for me. He liked me. That was important to have big brothers who like you. And he was kind of a protector. And one of the things that he protected me from was brother number three. Now, brother number three, I hope that you're watching this. Because brother number three was a bully. Everybody say bully. Nobody likes bullies, bro. Okay, I got back off here. It helps that I'm 500 miles away. It helps me do these messages. And so I just discovered, wait a second, I got bullied and I got picked on and I got beat up and stuff when brother number two was not around. And I soon learned, like, what if I just hung around brother number two a little bit more? Because when I hung around brother number two, I was like, and brother number three, he couldn't touch me because he had to deal with brother number two. Is everybody following me on this illustration here? It's like, what if we would just hang around brother number two? What if we just put ourselves in position to be around brother number two? And I talk about Jesus. Talking about Jesus. You see, not only did Jehoshaphat seek God, but he got the whole kingdom involved in this. And he ordered a fast. Now, you're preparing for battle here. Isn't that such a strange battle tactic? Hey, guys, we got a really big army coming this way, so this is why we're going to no food for anybody. We're going to fast. We're just going to seek God. That's just, I don't know if that's in our Department of Defense's battle plans for future events like that, but that became King Jehoshaphat. This is our battle plan. We are going to seek God. We're not only going to pray, but we are going to fast. And he discovered that this, in fact, this was going to make his army stronger. Time after time, we see in the Bible where confronted with battles, prayer and fasting is exactly what is ordered. Now, fasting, and I know some of you, we've been on a 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I just wanted to know for some of you who are guests today, and you may be visiting, I'm going to challenge you that if you weren't able to jump in on the 21 days of prayer and fasting, we have one more week, so we have just renamed it the 7 days of prayer and fasting. So now everybody is all included to join in us. But fasting, I define fasting as this. It's giving up what you really like for something that you really need. It's giving up my phone, my social media, I'm giving up sports, I'm giving up sweets, I'm giving up certain foods, I'm giving up meals. I really like meals. I really like lunch, but I'm giving it up so I can really, really focus in on God. And what does fasting do? Fasting is one of the best things that it does to us is it humbles us. It humbles us. It humbles us to just put our focus on God. Fasting gives God our full devotion. What it does is it reaffirms that you are fully devoted to God and nothing else compares. That's powerful. Fasting not only gives God our full devotion, but it gives God our full attention. So what happens is we take all of our focus on all these things that we're working on. It's like, no. I'm going to put those aside, and God, you have my attention. Lord, would you just speak to me? And the third thing that fasting does is it gives God our full dependency. All of a sudden, we get back to, like, wait a second, I need to get back to relying on God, making him plan A instead of B or C. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you gave God your full devotion? You gave him your full attention. You gave God your full dependency. That's why I think just moments like this for a church are just so important, that we're taking time to give God what he desires and what it does for us. So this 7 days of prayer and fasting, we if you want to join along with us, if you get on social media, if you go check out our Facebook page, these are the things that we're praying for. We're just praying for direction and breakthroughs and miracles, for battles that you're facing, for spiritually lost friends and family. The next day, we're praying for family and marriages and your children. We're praying for revival in our country, for a spiritual awakening in our community, for effective ministry of this church. And then the last thing we're doing is on Sundays, we're giving God praise and worship. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. The second thing that we're going to do is, the first thing we're going to do is, our battle plan is, we're going to seek God. And the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. So Jehoshaphat stood before his people and challenged his people to trust God. He reminded them. He's like, all right, everybody. He gets them all together and says, listen, I just want to remind you of who we serve. And he reminded them of what he did before, what he did in and through our forefathers. And if he did it for them, he can do it for us. Listen to this in verse 9. He said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and we trust that you hear us and that you rescue us. Did you hear that? Again, the same God who rescued their forefathers was alive, and he was aware of their need. And I believe that this same God that Jehoshaphat was talking about, that provided for his forefathers, provided for him, that same God is alive today, and he will fight your battles for you. I believe that. I believe that. Our God does not change. And he calls for us. He says, listen, I'm going to do is ask of your part is that you humble yourselves and you believe, that you trust me, that you take me at my word. Listen to their prayer. Verse 12, it says, oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for your help. So again, trusting God, God calls for us to humble ourselves. Isn't it amazing how it takes humility for us to ask for help? Sometimes it just takes humility. It takes humility to surrender our control and trying to fix things. It takes humility for us to confess that we are powerless without him. It takes humility to say, God, I can't do this. We need you. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat was leading these people to do, to recognize humility. Oh, it's so good for the soul. Verse 15, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid. And so he's responding to them. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And I just wonder how many of the battles that you are fighting each and every day, the conflict that you're fighting, what if we would recognize that, you know what? A lot of these battles, they're not even for me to fight, but they're God's. It's so interesting when Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians or Ephesians 6, he says, for we wrestle not, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of the dark realm. What if we were to begin to see the problems that we're facing in a spiritual realm and not a physical realm? You see, when we take, what they did is they took God at his word. And when we take God at his word, we can be sure of these things. I want to encourage you as you face your battles. Number one, that God hears you. God hears you. This morning I was out for a walk and I was talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was more than, I don't talk to the President of the United States. I talked to the King of the Universe this morning. And I want you to know every prayer that you give to God, God hears you. Not only does God hear you when you pray, but God cares. God cares about the battle that you're facing. God cares about every tear that is shed for the hurt that you're facing. You serve a God who cares about you. And number three, we serve a God who is working. I want you to know if you are praying and you are trusting, then you can rely on our God working. This is not in your notes, but Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God causes everything. Everybody say everything. Everything to work together for the good, for those who love God and are calling according to his purpose. I want you to know, you're praying today. Whatever you're praying about, God is working. I promise you, he's working. Now, I will tell you this. Sometimes I don't always like the things that he's working. Can I just own up to that? Like, wait. Sometimes I want to say, God, wait a second. That's not the way I would work it. That's not really the way I wanted it to work out. But God says, hey, can you trust me? Can we go back to trust? Can you trust me that I'm working? And that I'm working all things together for the good. The third thing that we're going to do in this battle plan is we're going to praise God. But wait a second. The battle's not over. I know. That's a crazy idea, but we're going to praise God. What are we praising him for? We're going to praise God. It's important. Verse 18, it says, then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Again, another strange battle tactic. Wait, shouldn't we be like sharpening swords and sharpening spears and getting, you know, fortifying the walls and stuff like that? Shouldn't we be doing that? No, we're going to praise God. You see, they turned their physical situation, their apparent physical circumstance, which was impossible, and they turned it into a spiritual battle. Verse 19, then the Levites were the spiritual leaders. From the clans of Kohath and Korah, they stood to praise the Lord and the God of Israel with a very loud shout. What is praise? What is praise? We were doing that this morning, right? A lot of the songs, I gave instruction, hey, listen, I want us to have some praise songs this morning. To praise means to openly express admiration, gratitude, and recognition of someone's greatness and worth. And so if you're new to Thrive Church and you're like, man, this is kind of a happy, clappy church. And these guys are like, what are they all excited about? And they're saying, hallelujah, and they're praising God. It's because we're following these principles that Jehoshaphat was doing. We're giving praise. We're giving praise. We're acknowledging his greatness. We always give praise to the thing we worship. We're always praising the thing or the person that we worship. Let me talk to the Packer fans out there. We have any Packer fans out there? Yeah, we got a couple of them. Season ended a little early. Sorry to hear about that. How many of you ever been in Lambeau Field? During a game? That is crazy. That is an awesome, awesome experience, right? I mean, and you talk about a happy, clappy bunch of people, right? Like, they're clapping because, you know, they're testing the microphone. Check, one, two. Yeah! Go, Pack, go! You know? And then the team comes out, and they're all warming up, and like, yeah! The crowd erupts. Like, it's a happy, clappy. Everybody's all excited. They're giving praise. And then the game's about to start, and then the team rushes out on the field. Can we practice that? The team is rushing out on the field. Everybody, the Packers are coming out here. And then they get excited, and like the kickoff, that's the greatest kickoff I've ever seen. Come on, get excited with me, all right? And then Jordan Love just drives him down the field and throws a touchdown pass, and everybody is, come on. They're giving high fives, and they're getting excited, and then there's another great defensive play, maybe an interception, and like, yes, we're going to win this game. And then the final score, everybody, stand up, I'm not joking, everybody stand up, let's just, woo! Go Pack, go! Okay, you can sit down now. Praise. You were given praise even before the battle was won, before the victory happened. We were praising, like they come out on the field. I just know they're going to win today. I just know this is going to be the greatest game ever. Oh, and then when he scored the touchdown, I just know it. I'm just excited. I just know it's going to be a great victory and another victory and another score. And isn't it interesting how they never like do that for the field goal kicker? I've always wondered about that. But we give praise. We can't help but give praise. We're people of praise. You had no problem doing that at Lambeau Field. Man, I think we need more of that in our lives, giving praise to God. Our God desires praise. Praise is stepping out of the way so that the champion can enter the field. Praise is cheering God on while he's doing his work. He's at it again. Praise is acknowledging the small victories along the way. I know we got a first down there. We got a first down. All right. We got another 50 yards to go. Praise is practicing our faith by acknowledging the winner before the game is over. I was just telling my wife last night, I just know the Lions are going to the Super Bowl. And then the Commanders would score a touchdown. Check that. I just know the Commanders are going to the Super Bowl. I have faith acknowledging the winner before the game is over. Praise is sticking it in the eye of the enemy who's going to lose. Yeah! Praise. So this was his battle plan. Verse 21, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk. Check this out. Stop. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the enemy. They invited Thrive Church worship band. Like, you guys are the tip of the spear. You guys go before us. And they're singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. You know what this is? They're in the middle of a battle. An invading army is coming their way, and they're like, go back, go, God, go. Verse 21, this is what they sang. We sang this song this morning. Thank you very much, worship team. They sang this song that we sang this morning. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. We sang that song this morning. Please hear me. I'm not trying to be crazy here, but I want you to know there is power in your praise. There's power. Now, watch what happened. This is how I know there's power in your praise. Verse 22, at the very moment that they began to sing and praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Is that not cool or what? They're just praising God, like, I don't know how this is going to go. And then, like, are they, like, fighting each other? And killing each other? And, like, what's happening here? I truly believe, listen to me. If you get anything out of this message, get this. I truly, truly believe that praise is one of your strongest weapons in the battle that you're facing. Is praise. In Psalm 150, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Just a funny quick story here, real quick. When I first became a lead pastor, no joke, I was probably 3 or 4 weeks into my first assignment as a lead pastor, and I wanted to get the people wound up and excited, and we just had praise, and I just wanted to impress all the people and just like let them know how spiritual that I am, and I'm like, hey, isn't that great, people? Let's just lift up our hands. The Word of God says that everything that has breast, praise the Lord. So I just had to tell about that embarrassing moment there. Listen to me. Praise is important to God. And if it's important to God, it needs to be important to us. Praise. I believe that one of the strongest ways that we can practice our belief is to give Him praise. And so some of you are like, all right, I'm in the middle of battle here. And like, I'm having a hard time thinking of how to praise. So what do I praise Him for? Praise Him, number one, for who He is. He is God, and I am not. And He is God. He's bigger than this invading army. Praise Him for what He has done. If He did it before, He can do it again. Praise Him for what He's doing. I may not see it. I might not feel it. But I know He's promised that He's working, and then I'm going to praise Him for what He's going to do. I just know He's going to do it. I know He's going to win. God is going to do this. I'm going to believe. So the last thing we're going to do is we're going to watch. Now let's review here. The battle plan here is I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek God first. And then I'm going to trust Him. I just prayed to Him, and now I'm just going to trust that God's working, and I'm just going to give Him praise. I know God is working. Now all I have to do is watch. Now check this out. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them right before their eyes. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began to attack each other. What is going on here? Because we're ready for this war, and like they're just watching this thing unfold before them. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. God had fought their battles for them. All that they had to do was seek God. All they had to do was trust God, take Him at His word. All they had to do was praise God. And now all they had to do was watch. I learned this in our church when I was a pastor in De Pere. And we were, if you've ever been to De Pere, go to Cerugi's Chocolates, okay, in downtown De Pere. Look across the street. And that was our store, that storefront was our church, okay? Just a small church, and we were outgrowing this church. We had 2 services, thinking about 3 services. We needed to get out of that building, okay? So we started looking, and we started praying, and like the property in De Pere is ultra expensive, and there was nothing. But I knew God was calling us. I knew something was happening. And so this opportunity came our way. But here is the deal. We had to sell our building. We had no financing, and it just, we had nothing but God. An opportunity came our way. And like, yeah, that's a perfect building. And like, okay, the price is pretty steep, but like, let's just believe that this is our building. And so I just begin to believe that that's our, I'm not talking about name it and claim it here, okay? That's not what this is about. I just believe that God was having us in this building. So we got into process, and we put out a bid, and like, we had this realtor, and he was just not a good person to work for. And like, he just kept trying to manipulate the situation, and our building wasn't selling. Nobody was interested in our building, and nothing was happening. And it got to be like 2 months, and like, I know we're supposed to have that building, but nothing's happening. I feel like I'm trying too hard to make this happen. And I need to step back and trust God. And so when it came to sign the contract for the realtor, we said, no, we're taking our name out. What I was basically saying is, I'm taking my name out from working with you, and I'm just going to work with God, okay? I lived maybe a mile from that location, and I would go out, and I walk and pray, and I would just walk around that property. I would just go and pray on those doors. They even gave me a key one time. I had a missionary come to town. I'm like, will you go with me inside this building, and can we just claim this building in Jesus' name, even though our name is taken out? 1 month later, the banker called us and said, we've been talking about this, and we want you to have this building. We want you to have this building so much we have lowered the price so that it is affordable for you. We are willing to provide the financing, and we really have a buyer who would be interested in your old building. Did you see that? All the things that I was trying to fix, everything that I was trying to put together and manipulate, and just wasn't working. And when we got in that building, we had to renovate it, and God kept showing up in his provision time after time after time. And I learned a great lesson. Like, I learned a lesson, like, man, I just need to stop trying to fix this battle, fight this battle on my own. I just need to learn to seek God. I need to learn to trust God, take him at his word. I need to learn to praise God. And when I did that, God showed up. God showed up. And I don't know what battles you're facing today, but can I challenge you to just take up that battle plan? Can I challenge you with that? I just believe this is going to be a year of breakthroughs. And many of you are here and you're facing battles and you've been trying too hard. Can I just challenge you this morning? Will you just stop? Will you just seek God? Will you just be serious? Maybe you take this week and like, I'm going to fast. I'm just going to seek God. Can I just challenge you to trust him? That when you have prayed, you can let it go and you can just trust God that he is working all things together for the good. Can I just challenge you to just, you know what? I'm not going to let my mind be consumed with this. I'm going to just praise God. Yeah, I'm going to praise God. I know he's working. And then watch. If you're here today and you're facing a battle that is out of your control, will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Would you just raise your hand? Yeah, quickly, in Jesus' name, all around this room, in Jesus' name, people facing battles in their marriage, in their mind, in relationships, in their workplace, in their finances, whatever that is, in Jesus' name, Lord, today we choose to put our faith in you and believe. And God, we're going to come back and we're going to celebrate. We're going to praise along the way for these victories already won. In Jesus' name, can we just give God praise? Praise like you mean it. Praise like you mean it. God, we believe. We believe. If you're here today and you've never put your belief in Jesus Christ, it starts right there. If you would like to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, right here, right now, just close your eyes and say, God, I need you. I invite the Lord of the universe to come and live inside of me, to mold me and shape me, to forgive me of my sins. Today, I choose to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. I'm telling you, that's the foundation right there. Build off of that. I praise God for that decision that you have made this morning.